Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here. I've got PowerPoint, so I just need to set that up. There we go. I've entitled my contribution to this session 2020 Vision, which actually refers to people who have perfect eyesight, so none of us by the look of it. But I hope works today as a way of asking what kinds of trends in the study of religion, philosophy, and ethics might we see emerging over the next decade. From where we stand in 2010, at the beginning of a new decade, what themes might we identify as potentially having a decisive effect on society as a whole, but in particular on those of faith and those of us who study them? And I've got five suggestions to put to you. Firstly, I think the realities of what we've come to call globalization will continue to shape our lives. Those of us who live in large cities, I live in Manchester and work in Chester, will already experience on a day-to-day basis the accelerating mobility of urban populations on a global scale. We all feel the impact of those flows of global migration in terms of the immense diversity of cultures, languages, and religious faiths around us. And it's perhaps nowhere more marked in that area of religious identity. There's a pluralism of religious faiths in the UK today like never before, and it stands to increase over the next decade. But alongside that awareness of globalization, our lives are still lived in and around local spaces and places. The experience of belonging to a particular neighbourhood and local community is intertwined then with that wider sense of inhabiting a global village, where the lives, journeys, and stories of those around us might be shaped by economic, religious, and political forces taking place on another continent, as much as they are by things down our own streets. And so this reminds us of how increasingly cultural and religious diversity amidst the complex intermingling of local and global cultures means we all have to learn to live with difference. My second trend concerns patterns of religious belief, membership, and affiliation. What kind of nation will we be by 2020? How many of us will identify as religious? And how many as non-believers? And what will that tell us about the nature of our society? Richard has mentioned the 2010 British Social Attitudes, which I commend to you. It has two good chapters on attitudes around religion. But if we're looking for evidence, as good scholars should, I think we ought to be keeping an eye in the next decade out for the results of the 2011 census. I think this will prove to be an intriguing source of evidence. My hunch, my prediction, and you heard it here first, is that it will provide a very different picture of the UK from that of the census of 2001, where the picture was broadly of around two-thirds of people identifying as Christian, however nominally. But I suspect that figure will fall, and we'll see an erosion of the number of people who identify as having some sort of Christian commitment. But equally, will we see a greater proportion of people explicitly identifying as atheists, skeptics, or agnostics? Time will tell. But I suspect we may see a widening gap between a minority of people who identify as actively religious or practicing a religion on the one hand, and a majority of those who are either relatively indifferent or even hostile to matters of faith on the other. My third category follows on from that a bit. I think it'll be interesting to see over the next decade what the long-term impact is of the emergence of the so-called new atheism. By that I mean the opinions of figures such as Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and Polly Toynbee. And they argue, like others, that religion has no place, no legitimacy in public and in reasoned debate. They argue that government, media, and education should be functionally secular. So if my second point was about personal religious belief and affiliation, this is much more about the public profile of religion. But at the same time, paradoxically, there's an enduring interest in matters of spirituality, not least in areas of public life, such as healthcare, business, and social policy. It's not unusual for organisations to acknowledge a spiritual dimension to the lives of their employees, their clients, their patients, or their customers, however that is imagined or expressed. So it feels as if we have two contradictory trends here. Will the next decade see increasing conflicts between, if you like, the irresistible force of scepticism and the immovable object of spirituality? Fourthly, not surprisingly perhaps, I think our lives will continue to be shaped by new technologies and by the ethical and social challenges that they will present. I think we're past the point where we can think about our technologies simply as mere tools and think about the way they actually shape and determine our experiences of what it means to be human. In the light of sophisticated medical interventions and technologies, we'll continue to debate moral questions about the beginning and end of life itself. But we're coming to see, too, the way in which digital technologies and things like the internet and the media fundamentally reshape the way we communicate and interact with one another, and the way in which we receive and interpret information, what we perceive fundamentally as questions of authority and truth. And Richard has already mentioned the impact of the media, and I think this is a very important part of this trend. I think the influence of the media will become both more pervasive and more fragmented in the decade to come. And as I say, I think this affects the very question of what it means to be human. Are we past the point at which we can even think of ourselves as independent of our tools and technologies? Have the boundaries between nature, technology, and humanity become irrevocably blurred? Will the next decade see us becoming post-human and post-natural in terms of the universal reach of technology and our increasing dependence on it? And is that a trend to be feared or welcomed? And finally, my fifth point. Perhaps the question that will dominate the next decade and the next generation to come, the question of climate change. Following the relative disappointment of the Copenhagen summit at the end of last year, we might ask whether conventional politics and politicians are actually capable of delivering the kind of global agreement that's necessary. But where else might we look for sources of moral wisdom in this question and for the political will to guide us to a more sustainable future? Well, perhaps we will still need politicians and scientists, but there may also be a role for religious faith here. Many faith leaders, including the Archbishop himself, demonstrated, I think, significant leadership in the run-up to Copenhagen, encouraging people to see this issue as a fundamental moral question. And we know also that faith communities are very effective, as Richard again suggested, at mobilising people for change, both at a local and a global level, whether it's in relation to questions of debt relief, global poverty, or climate change. So we may actually see a more decisive intervention from faith-based organisations in this respect, and a renewal of ethical debate from many quarters around this crucial issue in the decade to come. So those are my five issues. In a sense, they were taken at random, but I think they're representative of the kind of debates we may well face in the next decade. And it seems to me that anyone who's interested in the study of philosophy, religion, and ethics will have a great deal to think about and a great deal of work and also a great deal of rich resources, as the poster presentations outside suggest, to help us think through these very challenging issues in the decade to come.